episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Now recording. This is Rick on Beatles, episode number 34. Is it 34? I do believe it's 34. And am I going green? Yes, I am going green. Fantastic. Wonderful evening here. And when it is, no, I'm not in Sydney. I'm at my own house. Wonderful house. And up the further from Sydney by about 3.5 hours or 4 hours thereabouts. Now, episode number 34, Be Told. There are people, I know it's really cold winter, but there's an awful lot of people getting extremely sick at the moment. Apart from me, I did have a really bad cough if anyone's listened to these shows over the last whatever. But that's, well, mainly gone, but I keep wandering around and listening to people's conversations, and you hear, you know, there's a guy who's probably in his late 20s or whatever, talking to an older guy, talking about his parents, and he was saying, oh, they're really, really sick, and now he's got a scratchy throat, and he thinks he's coming down with it. The girl that worked for me, or was supposed to have worked for me last Wednesday night, we're doing one of my jobs in where I live, so I could get down to the winner is earlier on Wednesday morning. She sent a message to me saying both her kids are sick and she's just hoping she won't get it. And I was thinking, well, you won't get sick straight away, you know, if both your kids have come home from school coughing. Just checking my microphone. It's close to my head. And blame me down. And she wouldn't be joking because I know she needs the money. And she sent me a message saying, I was away, I was in the winter is, and she was up here meant to do this job for me. She couldn't do it because she said she got so sick that same night and had the shakes and da-da-da-da-da, like influenza. Now, there's so many people sick, and the good thing is when I'm talking to people, I said, were you vaccinated? And the majority of them go, yes, but I'm not going to get another one because it didn't work because I tested positive for this, you know, COVID twice, da-da-da-da-da. But there's definitely a lot of people sick at the moment. And I'm saying in the winner is Sydney. And I wouldn't have mentioned, I haven't been on for 2 weeks, but one of the offices I go to, there's, say, 1, 2, 3, say 20 employees, about 19 of them were sick. 18 or 19 of them. And that's a guess, because when they said all of them were sick, I could, you're listening to Be Told.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
You're listening to Be Told, episode number 34 on, I didn't say the date before, how unprofessional. The date is the July the 15th. Is it the 15th? Yes, halfway through July. So therefore, 2025. 2025. Rick and Rolly, two shows on Saturday night, I would say up there with our best. Just interesting conversation. If people, and there are people out there that do like listening in. There's a few Americans I know listen to. I think they like the Australian slash Neo Australian slash New Zealand accent that I do. And our conversations, because it's always, you know, it's usually good, because he hasn't been plastered drunk of the last God knows how long. It's, you know, we've had some really up and down episodes of the Rick and Rollo show, we'll just say that. Usually him being on the downside and me being on the upside. Not always, though. I had a bit of an argument on Sunday night with a fakeologist himself. He's just being a bit, you know, he's talking over the top when I'm bringing up a semi-obscure story that no one had heard. He certainly hadn't heard about it. And, you know, it's fake. And it just set me off, because I'd already had a few. And I'm fairly argumentative. And especially if I feel I'm being disrespected, because I don't mind afterwards, you know. But no, he was doing it while I was trying to tell the story. Big mistake. And I said to him that what I said, that the reason I don't go on his, because he did offer me a chance to go do a show with him on a Thursday. I just don't think it would work at all because of his, he's got a lot of people, a lot of them are, what are they, IPS types. He's disappeared completely. Apparently he's got no money. Now, that guy is a smart guy. I find it really hard to believe a guy like him, entrepreneurial type, would be that broke all the time. And doesn't he get a military pension, surely? Baffles me, because he's a real talent. He's a real talent, even though he's a there's two Tims that are will not let you talk about or rubbish geoengineering, which is going on right now. And now they're admitting they're doing it. I don't know how they're going to get away with denying it now, because in the paper they're dimming the sun in England. They've got the budget through. America just had a huge flood in Texas last week, or the week, last week. Said 100 dead. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen a flood or what it can do when it comes down without any warning, especially if they switch dams open, which they often do, and it's a king tide, etc. But people get washed away, houses get washed away, animals get slaughtered left, right, and center. And I'm from a very floody area, I'll just say that. Is that a word, floody? It is now. And it is this devastation you would not believe still when I drive to the, when it is Sidinini on Wednesdays. And I never see it when I'm coming back because it's too dark, but it's incredible. I think they had about five past, you know, dead from that particular flood that were washed away from their houses. I can't believe there wasn't more. It's just incredible. The whole town went underwater. Several towns went underwater. If you're sitting at home and you were elderly and you ignored the warnings, and you didn't do it, you're done for. You're done for. It is just an incredible, dangerous thing, especially if it comes downhill. New Zealand had an incredible event, and they reckon that it was suppressed. And I would say it was suppressed, because I had to dig deep to find out how bad it was. Didn't get plugged on the media about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. This is a simple equation of spraying silver iodide and a couple of other ones over the top of clouds. I've said it before every episode. Why would anyone deny this unless you're getting paid or just a troll? There's only two reasons. Or you're stupid. One of the three reasons. Incredible. Where was I going before, though? I was talking about IPS. Why would he have no money? I mean, he's just an entrepreneurial guy, and he apparently, his computer's blown up, blah, 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 because he hasn't done any shows. He did one after the failed Seattle Tower prediction. Nothing happened. But I'm not going to say it's not going to happen, but nothing happened when he said, thought it was going to happen. If you listen to Jurassic Lies, I don't know what his excuse was. I think he's running out of time. I think we've got this year, 11-6 is November the 11th to me. Oh, sorry. Yeah, 11-6 or 6-11. is November the 11th. You could have the 6th of November. You could say that could be another. So will Donald Trump get shot in the head again? Will the Seattle Tower blow up? And will a side of America collapse and turn into a giant flood as predicted by the Batman movies, et cetera, et cetera, if you've listened to IPS and Jurassic Lies? I like Jurassic Lies. I think he's good. I like his voice.
Ooh.
So anyway, yeah. So I had a bit of a spat the other night. But it's just, you know, we do have these from time to time. I've done 8 years of shows over there. Pretty much every week, I would say. Not every week, but maybe one, maybe say three weeks missed over that period of time. That's long service. I deserve a long service for that. But if he's going to treat me like an idiot when I'm talking, then I'll do a Be Told show on a Sunday night or have a free-for-all on, which we can talk about anything on truthmeets.com. Oh, I could do that. Because I don't like to think about what I'm saying. I want to come out of my head as it is, unedited, without going, oh, are they going to say this is fake? Which would happen on a Thursday show when he's got a number of people. There's a couple of chicks that ring on to say that everything's, you know, no one died, nobody got hurt. What's her name? Kate Emma. I love, there's two names I love. Put them together even better. The Kates and Emmas are always nice people. Good looking too. Usually. And even Kate with a, I had a beautiful client with a blonde headed chick. And her name was Kate, C-A-T-E. And she was absolutely gorgeous. There's something about names too. I do believe certain names breed certain people. Waynes, for instance. Nearly every Wayne I know has a substance abuse issue of the highest magnitude. I'll just say that. There's something about the vibration when you say Wayne, Wayne, or Wayne, Wayne over here. They tend to be drinking heavily and using every drug that they can possibly get their hands on. Why is this? Have I discovered something? You know, but there is definitely an issue with Wayne's, even though I think Susie's partner is Wayne. I think he's normal. He's got her to deal with. Joke. She came on to be a show. I think if you listen to Fakeologist last Sunday night, no, two Sundays ago, Susie came on there and just tell us things that you would never normally hear from in a personal conversation. Very funny, a very interesting character, that one. And she's a big fan of the show. Shout out to Susie. It's S-O-O-Z-E-I or whatever. Funny, always funny, and a big fan of the show. Knows more about my life for the last 8 years than I do. I guarantee it. Most of the time I was talking on a lot of the shows I was doing, I've been like, I'm not quite Rollo'd, but I've had a few. He says, having a sip of beer again. 10 degrees outside. It's cold for me. Yes, it is. Now, I had a fantastic conversation. I think we got over the issue the other night, thanks to Frank. His soothing voice going, let it go, let it go. Singing, probably. What's that song? From that Disney movie? I think he was singing, saying, let it go. And we kept talking. I was on there for hours. I did 2 hours because I hadn't done any shows that day. And it's actually really interesting, I think, some of the things that I was saying, if I don't mind saying that myself. Because Silas Biggs came on and we talked about his trip to Portugal. Fascinating. Fascinating. And Silas, the little chat I did with him the other night was echoing. Actually, last Be Told I did, there's about five or six, at least 500 people listen to that show on his platform, which is a lot of people when you're down at this end of the spectrum. Is that what they're going to call us? They're on a spectrum, the conspiracy spectrum. Everything's fake. Well, that's not with me. I don't think everything's fake, but that is part of the new spectrum of conspiracy theorists. I listened to this is another show I'll plug. Is Courtney Turner. Great voice, but my goodness, she can talk at 100 miles an hour. And somehow she's only been into this for 4 years now. I've been into this for 40-something years, 44 years, say. So. getting next year will be 44 years since 82 when I really, you know, I think I first saw the book, the Anglo-American Alliance by Carol Quigley, and tried to read parts of it with my limited reading abilities. I can read, obviously. I was very good at English, but big books like that. I think not the Anglo-American one is not as big as the other. His biggest one, which is, I think, 2,000 pages or some outrageous amount of boring stuff, unless you read between the lines or the lies. Fascinating book. Carol Quigley's the guy that really is the guy that you can't be called a conspiracy theorist if you're citing Carol Quigley, because he was the, I think, Georgetown University, the man who personally educated Bill Clinton, the man whose father is definitely one of the Rockefellers, be told. Probably David, because he was crying away when David's funeral. Smithers! So that's definitely who they modelled Mr. Burns on, as far as I'm concerned, on David Rockefeller. No, what do you mean? Definitely the same voice. Now, the other day, after talking to Silas Speaks, I got out the old book, which I bought 30 years ago, The Occult Conspiracy by Michael Howard. And I picked it up and brushed through it and, you know, went through, you know, how many relationships? Three relationships and had three children between and became a parent of three children. And didn't pick it up again, you know, until recently. And my God, this is a fantastic book. But the most interesting character that stood out to me, without any doubt, was Pascal? Yeah, Pascal Beverly Randolph. Now, Randolph, born in 1825. Randolph had travelled. He was a friend of Abraham Lincoln, would you believe it? Lincoln, an accomplished occultist. Did you know, so President Lincoln was an accomplished occultist who had become deeply involved with the practice of spiritualism after the death of his son. References were often made to newspapers hostile to Lincoln's reforming campaigns to his progressive friends that he was hanging out with. This was a coded reference to the inner circle of Quakers, spiritualists, and occultists who whom President turned to for spiritual guidance. Lincoln himself possessed psychic powers, including clairvoyance or precognition, and the ability to heal the sick. I didn't know that. Did you know that? The president, well, I have read this before, but anyway, the president was a close friend of Neo-Rosicrucian called Pascal Beverly Randolph. Born 1825, Randolph had traveled to the East where he had been taught the secrets of tantric sex magic. Interesting guy. I mean, this is a guy. Why have there not been a TV show they've even made one on Netflix about, White Parsons, Whiteside Parsons, Jack Parsons. This guy makes Jack Parsons. This is the guy that Jack Parsons would have been heavily into, for sure. He was also a mixed blood, and he fought during the American Civil War when he led a Negro infantry company. Now, why isn't this been made into a movie? Anyone? Because it's tying. They don't want you to know that your presidents in America are all basically occultists. That would actually ruin their reputations, even though you can just have a look at George Washington dressed up in his Masonic garb. Every other 33-degree Mason you had a number of them in as presidents. A whole lot of them were in some kind of club, I guarantee you now. Honestly, led a Negro infantry company. After the war, Lincoln appointed him as educator of the emancipated slaves in Louisiana. So he's a hero to the disenfranchised Africans that have been taken over there as slaves. That's if you believe that story. And there are people out there that don't believe that. Da, 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 da. Randolph had begun his occult career in 1858 when he founded the Rosicrucian occult society called the Hermetic Brotherhood of Light, which taught sex magic. Now, this is in 1858. It's a long time before the 60s. So they've done this thing before, you know, that whole wild sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Without rock and roll, they would have just played sex, drugs, and classical music. called the Hermetic Brotherhood of the Light. The early Rosicrucians had been interested in the transformation of sexual energy into spiritual power, which had used alchemical symbolism to conceal the process from outsiders. This is why you got that Blood Sugar Sex Magic album title by the Red Hot Chili Peppers. There's a lot more into them. And it's mainly the guy that was their producer, I think, came up with that title, I would say, guaranteed. Randolph claimed to have been initiated into the white magic of love by a dusky maiden of Arabic blood in Jerusalem. This may refer to an actual sexual encounter in the East, or it might be a coded reference to the goddess worshipped in King Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, which would be Isis. Attempts have been made to dismiss Randolph as a charlatan who used occult practices for his own personal sexual gratification, but he was aware of the history of the Rosicrucian Order. He regarded Christian Rosencreutz as the one who revived rather than founded the Order. And now this is CR, this is blending in with your those big rocks in the Georgian Guidestones, which don't exist anymore. Did they ever exist? Yes, they certainly did. As a conspiracy theorist in the 1980s, I remember when they first arrived. You know, people were talking about it, photos, people were going to them, asking what, who, and where and why. And R.C. Christian was rumored to be the guy that founded CNN, that was married to, he was the rumor to be the guy that paid for it big time. I do recall that one, because of Mr. R.C. Christian, which is Rosicrucian, Christian, was his code name. And I mean, just look at the, I remember the back, so I've been into this again, 44 years next year. It's a long time to be a conspiracy theorist. Long time. And to still stay one. And to be pretty much on the same tack as I was when I first started. You know, I went off on a few different tangents. I'm really good at spotting bullshit artists. I can tell you now, I'm fucking really good, and I'm suspect of a few people out there. I'll just say that. This may blah, 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 blah. Attempts have been made to dismiss. Blah, 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 read that. He regarded Christian Rosencreutz as the one who revived rather than founded the order. He alleged that he too had been initiated into tantrism while studying in the Middle East. The aim of these practices was the creation of an elixir of life which prolonged youth. Randolph claimed that his elixir was the mixed secretions of men and women produced at the height of sexual excitement. This is Crowley. This is still going. You know, this Crowley took. Crowley was a big fan. So was Madame Blavatsky. He actually was one of her, I think, main heroes. And she was around the same time, so she probably met him. I doubt if he would have slept with her, though. I don't know if you've ever seen her, unless she was really hot when she was younger, not particularly good looking. And he was dashing, and clearly had a lot of fun. Blah, 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 blah. His belief that the sex act was a sacred ritual, which could be used to achieve spiritual enlightenment, led to his arrest in Boston for advocating free love. The prosecuting counsel described Randolph as the most dangerous man in the world. Now, guess who also got described as that? How many years later? Not that long later, about another 30-something years, 40 years, that old Aleister Crowley, the most dangerous man in the world, or most wicked man in the world. There's a big link with him as well. So it's the same stuff. And that, what's the name, that artist that does, you know, spirit, you know, was that spirit cakes and cakes of light? It's the same old stuff, rinse and repeat, but it went right back. You're listening to Beethoven.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
What a voice that man has. That's Joel, the wonderful Velocet, the creator of truthmeets.com, in combination with his loud when she talks, and good-looking too. I think we've seen a photo of her. Sarah, his wife, Sarah. Sarah and Joel, very Old Testament. That was him talking, and the wonderful bumper, and that's Rick on the... What did I say? Was it the 12th? No, that's It's the 15th, I think, today of July 2025. And I'm here talking about Pascal, Beverly, Randolph. Now, these names, also Beverly and Randolph, are all over the place. The Churchills, Randolph's in their name. Beverly's in a lot of names. Beverly Hills. Beverly, and there's also a Randolph Beverly, who's a famous American politician pre this, and I think in the American Revolution era. This is a very famous name. Randolph was not only Rosicrucian, Randolph was not the only Rosicrucian to publicly announce his existence in the 19th century. The formation of neo-Rosicrucian groups in England, which ultimately resulted in the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, being Crowley, inspired a group of Freemasons in Pennsylvania to form a Masonic Rosicrucian order in 1879. This group, today known as the Societas Rosicrucianana Civitatis Federatus, is only open to the Master Masons. And in 1980, it had a total of 773 members. That's 17. That's Q. Boom, 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 boom. There is, or eight. Eight's big at the moment. I keep seeing eights everywhere. There is no evidence that Randolph was connected to these Masonic Rosicrucians, but links can be traced between his group and the ancient mystical order of Rosicrucia, or Amorc. It's another one that Crowley was part of, A-M-O-R-C. And the Orcs, isn't it interesting, tying Orcs with the bad guys, little demon-looking guys in Lord of the Rings by J.H. Tolkien, is it? Whatever his name, J.H.H., or is that the guy that has written another very suspicious thing, the full of sex, gratuitous sex and violence that the Queen used. The Queen watched her favourite show, Winter is Coming, that show. Anyway, link, Orc. There's a, I guarantee you, Am Orc link guaranteed, exclusive Rick's Be Told show as usual. Founded by H. Spencer Lewis, and this Ordo Templi Orientis, or OTO, which claimed to be following the Templar tradition. When R. Swinburne Clymer became the head of Randolph's group, he rejected the tantric sex magic of its founder for more orthodox Rosicrucianism, so he's a bit of a stick in the mud. Randolph, however, had already passed on his knowledge of tantrism to a group of French occultists who in turn passed them on to the German founders of OTO. If, you know, when you're in your reproductive years, just say that, sex sells. Anything to do with sex and getting more of it, people join up these groups just based on the fact they might get more sex, particularly men and a few women. And that's how they attract people into these orders, for sure. Randolph, however, had already passed his knowledge. Lewis claimed that Amorc was directly descended from an early American Rosicrucian group which had established a lodge in Philadelphia in 1624. But he also said that he had received instruction in the occult mysteries from a Rosicrucian order in Toulouse, France, in 1909. In 1921, Lewis was granted a charter by the OTO. According to Lewis, turning the page, make that bell sound. Like, did you ever see those books when you were little? Tinkerbell would ring the bell and you turn the page. You had a record and a book. These were things back in the day before the internet. Be told. Authority to found Amorc was given to him by a member of the English branch of the order who was descended from Oliver Cromwell. That all tied up. All tied up. And he had received his authority from the Grand Master of the Order, who lives in India. Boom. I keep saying this. Look at India. Stop pointing it. Stop looking and talking about those people that live in Israel. Look at India. Way more special. Is Napoleon Wilson. Napoleon Wilson. Where is he sitting over there? There he is. He'd agree. The circumstances of Lincoln's assassination, now, don't need to talk about that one, had some mysterious elements which have prompted some conspiracy theorists to represent it as an example of the workings of the secret societies in the American history. The president's killer, John Wilkes Booth, was trapped in a burning barn after the murder and shot dead by a soldier named Boston Corbett. Ah. Apparently, Corbett was a religious fanatic who had castrated himself for spiritual purposes. He was later committed to a mental hospital, but escaped and was never seen again. Now, loose ends tied, and a Corbett, not James Corbett.
From Japan? James Corbett from Japan?
He was later committed to a mental hospital. It was suggested that he was a secret member of the infamous Skoptsi, that's Skoptsi sect, which flourished in 18th century and 19th century Russia. This weird occult traced its origins back to pagan mysteries of the goddess Cybele. Interesting name. Whose priests wore woman's clothing and castrated themselves as a sacrificial offering at her altars. They were trans. This sect may have been introduced into 19th century America by Russian immigrants. Rumors persist that Booth escaped from the fire, which he definitely did. No way did he die. Blah, 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 blah. And lived until 1903 under the assumed name, financially supported by Lincoln's replacement in the White House. Now, I saw it. I think it was William Ramsey had this old book that he read. No, it might not have been Ramsey. It might have been my favorite, now passed away, Visigoth. It was Visigoth, I think, that read huge tracts of this book that he got hold of. About what happened to Booth and how the whole story. It's just absolutely fascinating. If you go into the Visigoth shows, they are the best out there. They are the best. Viz was fantastic. R.I.P. R.I.P. to Viz. What was his name? Anyway, played baseball. Another intervention by the Masonic Rosicrucian Illuminati traditions in American history took place in the 1930s when it coincided with the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, whose New Deal introduced, now just remember, that's FDR and New Deal. There's AOR, AOC. She's got a Green New Deal. Rinse and repeat. I'll say that again. Rinse and repeat. Three-barreled name, AOC, FDR. Same thing back, how many was it 633 or 622 years, whatever. There'd be so many months in between these things, guaranteed. Socialism into the American political system and led to allegations by the extreme right-wing enemies that he was a crypto-communist. Roosevelt was allegedly a member of a secret society called the Ancient Arabic Order of Nobles and Mystics and held grade of a Knight of Pythias. This order, claimed to be an offshoot of the Illuminati, included amongst its past members were Mirabeau, Frederick the Great, Goethe, Spinoza, Kant, Sir Francis Bacon, and Garibaldi. The list of notables suggests that there was some confusion between it and the Order of the Rosy Cross. Two 19th century Freemasons, Walter Fleming and William Florence, were the co-founders in the American branch of the order. Florence had been initiated in the French Lodge of the Order in 1870 while staying in Marseille. He was also inducted into another lodge in Algeria and returned to France to found the American Lodge, in New York in 1871. Membership of the Order was only open to Freemasons who had reached the 32nd degree of ancient accepted Scottish Rite. All were members of the Masonic Temporal Lodges. Now, I'll stop reading now, this Pascal Beverly Randolph, why does an itinerant cleaner that needs more money have to tell you something that you should have seen movies about this guy, TV shows about this guy, but you didn't. You heard it from me first, a lot of people. This is about my fourth year talking about him. I did it on Fakeologist, which goes into the ether, and whoever listens to that show, it doesn't get recorded. I can't find where I was talking about it, but I certainly did. Beer is good for you. I'm just going to tell you now. here. It's good for you. So, yeah, this is a fascinating character. And the fact that he was close friends with Abraham Lincoln, you know, incredible. They're all tied up. And someone, you know, I've been talking about theosophy ad nauseum for quite a long time, how important it is in Australia. They arrived in, I think, 1920s and literally tried to buy radio stations everywhere. And they did very successfully buy 2GB, which was named after their hero, Giordano Bruno, who got burned at the stake. Some revolutionary type. We should read into that one. Revolutionary, round and round and round. That's, you know, that's what it means. And that's why there's a certain group of people out there that constantly believe in revolutions and phoenixes. And that logo, I keep saying, the no greater in Australia evidence of the phoenix logo in your face everywhere you look is the big W of Westpac. Possibly the inversion by McDonald's. You know, you can even say the twin arches are the phoenix if you turn it upside down. I would say that there's a there. And the genius of some of these graphic designers now that managed to design a logo with not just one, but sometimes up to four meanings to those that know. And that's not many people, I'll just tell you now. But the Westpac one is a W, but it also is the phoenix rising. It's also the trident, which is an exact same thing. And it's one more, I can't remember, I've lost my train of thought, but there's three logos in one. Some of them are like the Toyota logo of the car where you see the what looks like a T with a circle in the top. That's four logos, up to five, and one logo, all-seeing eye, the Saturn, which is everywhere, incredible. So, that, you know, someone comes up with these things. I could research and find out who was the guy that came up with the Toyota logo, because that logo is incredible. Mm. And as I've said, when you're following a car down the road and it just has the word Toyota on it, you're actually seeing OTO coded in that, and you're seeing the owl's face, the Moloch with the O with a Y, and the O is the bird's face staring at you, whether you like it or not. I guarantee you now. Plus, it's got OTO in it, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not quite an anagram, but you can read backwards as well, a Toyota. If you keep putting the words together, Toyota, 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 it reads completely backwards and forwards. Palindrome. Yeah, I'm just going to mute for a bit and I'll gather my wits and come back and talk. Be told. And he's back. Not far away from the bumper. Not far away from the bumper. Now, I'll move on from that subject, but I would advise people to look into Beverly. And I think Silas, I've actually sent it to Silas because he'll actually do a proper breakdown of it. I don't have I've got too much information in my head. And if I start delving into one particular subject, other stuff just will disappear. So I like to know lots of bits of things. I don't like to be an absolute expert on one particular subject, but I am on Black Sabbath. That's interesting, and a lot of other bands. And I'll just speak about that because we just went through, talked about it a bit while getting interrupted by Rollo the other night to try and, this is opening beer, light beer though, lightish beer, the same level that they drink in New Zealand back when I grew up, 3.5%, fairly light. And the concert back to the beginning, that's BTTB, BTTB. I watched it and I watched some of it I was on Facebook looking at people that were just sharing stuff as they were in the audience with their smartphones. And some of it was fantastic that I saw. So it's going to look really good when it gets put out professionally. Well worth watching. I've talked about Black Sabbath and their beginnings from after reading this fantastic book by
that I found completely randomly one day when I was roaming around some area, and there's one of those free book repositories just sitting there, and I opened it up, and right in front of me, Tony Iommi, Iron Man, was sitting there, and it's his own bio, autobiography, as told to TJ, can't even read it, TJ Lammers. So Tony is an amazing guy. He's a big guy. He was admitted that, like, him and his friend Albert were the school bullies at Aussie's school. He calls a spade, and he's just he's a good bloke. Was he a Satanist? I doubt that very much. I don't think any of them were, but I think there were rumors that Geezer Butler, who wrote all the lyrics every song that you can, that you listen to by Black Sabbath, that's Geezer Butler, who he claimed he channeled all the lyrics. Now, I've been onto this channeling thing for a long time, and I believe in it. Aleister Crowley said he channeled his first big one with I Was, that came and talked to him, or through his wife, or one of his girlfriends, or whatever she was. Even Keith Richards said that Jumping Jack Flash came while he was in a cheap motel in America, couldn't sleep, and all of a sudden he said, in the middle of the night, he got up and started singing and wrote the chords down and the lyric. And the next morning he woke up with a little tape recorder that he had and played it back. And he didn't remember doing it, but he'd done it and he got it through into his head, through his skull. Now, there is a technology out there that's a voice-to-skull technology, or there are just your own thoughts, the disembodied thoughts, thought forms heavily talked about in theosophy, etc., etc. But Geezer Butler, Terry Geezer Butler, wrote all these amazing lyrics, and I remember actually looking at some of the lyrics, particularly the song, or a couple of songs on Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, really good songs, and I was thinking, this is not, you know, when you listen to these guys talk, they are not intellects, you know, that back in the day, they were described as bricklayers on acid. They were coming up with all these amazing concepts and stuff. And if you read this book by Tony Iommi, kind of gives it away that there's a guy called Meehan, that was their kind of manager, that was coming and giving them you're listening to Beethoven.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation,
or your preoccupation,
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Wonderful night it's Tuesday, the 15th of July, 2025. And we're talking about some interesting subjects here. Probably one of the greatest shows ever done by me. Ever. I have to say that. And I do frequently say that. Frank, he knows. So, Tony, we're talking about Black Sabbath. So this Meehan character would be always popping around and guiding them. And I've already spoken, but I'll say it again just in case anyone hasn't listened. When the band Earth, that's what they were called, Black Sabbath were originally called Earth, they were a blues band, bluesy jazz band from Birmingham. And they first laid down their tracks for the album Black Sabbath, I think it was. And when Ozzy got the master the first initial pressing, he said he took it round to his father John Osborne, also John Osborne. His name's John Osborne, who was the band. He was a very supportive father, because he had a bit of a wild child in Ozzy, be told. He got jailed for burglary. He worked in he was just the bad guy, but not as bad and tough as Tony Iommi. Tony Iommi was like, Ozzy was terrified of Tony Iommi and his big friend Albert when he was at school, and he said so. He was like shivering when they came knocking on his door to ask him if he'd like to play well, him and Bill Ward went round to Ozzy's place to see if he was interested in singing. And then, and Tony took one look at him and said, that's that idiot from school. There's no way that guy can sing, and thought nothing of it. But they ended up linking up and putting out Geezer and Bill Ward. Geezer and, was it Geezer and Tony and Bill Ward and Ozzy were both kind of ended up in a band together. And they laid down the stuff. I think they were still called Earth at this stage. And next thing you know, when Ozzy took the album around for his father to listen to, he actually says in an interview, he couldn't believe that at least the bells and the sounds and the upside down cross on the cover. And his father had said to him, like, Ozzy, he goes, well, John, you would have called him John. He goes, what are you guys on? And Ozzy reckons that he couldn't believe it either, because he said what they sang in the studio was not what got put out on that record. So what happened, Northern Records, again, I'll say it again, own traces straight back to the Beatles and Epstein, not that Epstein, the other Epstein, the manager of the Beatles. And that, I would say, is the Adorno, who would have been the master director of music back in the day. Guaranteed. So Northern Records put out this Black Sabbath that had, it's incredible. It's Northern English Music, something like that. It's NEMS, NEMS. I've got, had the original. And it's got this incredibly airy cover of a woman standing there like a watermill in England when it's purple hues. Funnily enough, I've been talking about this. These colours are in that cover of Black Sabbath, and they're around at the moment, this kind of a airy, kind of a purplish kind of tone. So there's a tone to the cover of this album, and it's a really eerie cover. The album has an upside down cross when you open up the gatefold and turn it, it's an upside down cross. Now, these guys had nothing to do, by their own admission, with any of the imagery of the upside down cross, or the, and then the name, I would suggest, was told, you're going to call yourself Black Sabbath. Now, I can tell you a more interesting thing as well that hardly anyone knows about this one. A very interesting show tonight, I have to say, it'd be the greatest show I've ever done. But back in 1972, before there was rock music videos on TV, or a lot of international music was actually copied by local artists, would just played on your TV show, they'd have a music show, and local artists would come and sing international songs because they couldn't either, didn't have videos for the original things, because videos didn't really become a big thing till much later. There was a band called Black Widow came out, and in New Zealand, me, little 5 or 6 year old me, how old would have been? 6 or 7. I was listening to this one of those pop shows. We had a competition like you've got now, that Australia's Got Talent or America's Got Talent or Pop Idol. It was like a Pop Idol contest. And a band called Steeplejack, I think they were called, came out and they sung the song called, it was a song by this English band called Black Widow called Come to the Sabbath, S-A-B-B-A-T. And it was absolutely terrifying because it's flute music and it's chanting, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there, come to the Sabbath, come to the Sabbath, Satan's there. That was on a New Zealand TV because they couldn't, Black Widow hadn't had a record deal to get that record out. So this band, something Jack, put it out. And it was terrifying because I can remember being haunted by those lyrics as a very young person. And at the same time, the interesting coincidence is that Black Widow couldn't get the album put out in time, and Black Sabbath's album came out at the same time. So everyone that wanted to buy the Black Widow song mistakenly saw Black Sabbath at upside down crosses and just assumed they were a bunch of devil worshippers, like Black Widow were. Yes, they were. And they ended up becoming, they charted because of Black Widow's failure to become, to get their record out in time. Now, I remember this story from many years ago. It's a true story that I do recall. And it's fascinating that there was a, some kind of weird coincidence that Black Widow's song, which everyone was listening to, because it was at the end of the 60s when everyone was being pushed out of the love thing and this whole Adorno-controlled culture creation by Tavistock, was changing the music you were listening to from hippie, you know, Flowers in the Rain by The Move to Come to the Sabbath by Black Widow. Deliberately done, all around the same time, 69, 70. And Black Sabbath just happened to have their album come out before Black Widow's album came out, and everyone bought it mistaking Black Sabbath for Black Widow. There's a fact, interesting metal fact here, heavy rock fact. Now, if you can still Google Black Widow, Come to the Sabbath, or I think something Steeplejack by the New Zealand band that did it, on the Loxene Golden Discs that we got had to listen to, that got, it was some music competition that was on TV in the 60s and 70s that I used to have to watch or did watch. But there's a big there with Black Sabbath, because they pushed this whole thing at the same time the Stooges were coming out in America, and a number of other satanic bands were all coming out at the same time. The Manson story was literally on the news nonstop. So you had Devil Worship, you had Rosemary's Baby, had already become a huge movie from 66, 67, and it introduced this whole big thing of demonology and everything. And it, so many people, including myself, got into the occult kind of thing from just listening to Black Sabbath, because I was trying to work out what these lyrics meant. They were always cryptic, you know, they had the song like NIB, or Behind the Wall of Sleep, really deep mystical songs. But Geezer Butler, a likable, you know, you can hardly understand a word he said back then. He said, I channel them all. They come from in my sleep, all the lyrics. And Tony and the other guys put them to music. So I'm saying there's a thought forms being put into people's heads to move these things going, to change the societies and getting so many people into devil worship. And a lot of the Americans really got sucked into Ozzy Osbourne. Is the whole image about Ozzy Osbourne that came from Sharon Osbourne, whose husband, sorry, father was Don Adern, Adorno, interesting. Napoleon Wilson? There's a there, possibly. So Don Adern, who'd managed the Small Faces and ripped them off blind, big Jewish underworld figure. Or say, just call them Hungarian, because that's where they came from. Menacing, you know, 6 foot something or other. He was the guy that hung people out windows upside down till they signed their contract or removed their contract. And Sharon was his daughter. So she was the one directly behind Ozzy when he split, when they sacked Ozzy Osbourne for unreliability and cocaine abuse, I'd say, in 78, 79. And they were going down. You know, punk had come out. Disco was everywhere. They put out some albums with really poor choices of albums. Ozzy wanted to keep it hard rock. The other guys wanted to go in a different thing. They sacked him. He went over and Sharon, I think he'd met Sharon by then. And she obviously guided him to turn him into this Diary of a Madman, putting out songs about Aleister Crowley, da-da-da-da-da, and so it goes. And I can't stand any of his solo stuff that was big in America is really low-rent stuff. I don't care how good Randy Rhoads played guitar. Boring, boring albums to me. Tinny American sounding compared to the crunchy, heavy rock of Black Sabbath in 1972, 73, 74. 75, Sabotage. Really different sounds and really interesting stuff. And I was talking the other night about one of my favorite songs that they did, because they've been ripped off blind. They had no money, like Pink Floyd got ripped off, all their money got taken. And they wrote a song called The Writ, The Writ, W-R-I-T. And it is just the most menacing. Maybe I'll play it at the end of the song. song, end of the show. It's not what I call, again, I was saying the other night, it's not a top 20 hit, but it's actually a really bitter song about how they've been, all their stuff was stolen off them and by their management. And why he got involved with one of the biggest rip-offs daughter ever is beyond me, but he did. And apparently she saved, you know, she got him off, you know, tried to be like dealing with Rollo, I guess. Rollo and Ozzy Osbourne were getting on extremely well. And I've seen Rollo in action many, 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 many times. And he'd probably outdo Ozzy Osbourne, the alcohol. I would have to say that, or certainly give him a good nudge. So, anyway, fast forward. The final concert of Ozzy Osbourne, he's got Parkinson's, and he really isn't well. He can't stand up, and he's shaking all over the place. Now, I saw bits of it. It got put out on Facebook. The one that blew me away, and I've said it before, say it again, Steve Tyler and who was it on guitar? Tom Morello, Nuno Bettencourt, and that blonde-headed wanker from Green Day, and Chad Smith on drums from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Band, they did a version of Led Zeppelin's Whole Lotta Love, which was absolutely just incredible. And Steven Tyler is 77 years of age, 17 years more than I am, and looking fantastic and skinny, as you know, like really skinny, but his voice is just phenomenal. And they've got boosters and echoes and stuff like that on it, but nah, he did a really good job. And people, I think, were just staggered at how good he was. Still, even apparently he's wound up the Aerosmith tour because he said he strained his vocal cords. Well, if I was in his band, I'd be a little bit upset about what I saw on the Back to the Beginning concert, because that guy did a very capable impersonation of Robert Plant, age 23, and he's 77. Crowley number. Ozzy's 77 too. Coincidence? Mr. Crowley did a song on Mr. Crowley, 77. Big 77 number. What was another Plane's number that went into the towers? Was it 77? Yes, it was. And I'll mute a little bit, and I'll come back and talk about a bit more about this concert. Beat all. And he's back. Yeah, no, I'll keep talking about the concert. Yeah, the concert was fantastic. Nuno Bettencourt from Extreme, that was the band he used to be in. That guy was playing the complex stuff that Randy Rhoads, which, again, no big fan of, you know, holding, you know, very clever, apparently, but not to me. I don't remember anything that I liked about Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman. Just marketing, but I got sucked into it, you know, and I was like, the whole imagery, and I looked into Crowley back then. I tried to analyze the lyrics and stuff like that, but to me it was tinny, crappy stuff. Again, nothing like the original doom rock, stoner doom rock of Black Sabbath, which you get Caius and loads of American, you know, bands that kind of mimicked it later on. I mean, he is an icon, but back when I was into Ozzy Osbourne, it was very rare that you'd see anyone with an Ozzy Osbourne t-shirt on or a Black Sabbath t-shirt on back in the day. They were a big band, but just not that big. They did come and play in New Zealand, and someone in this concert, Narawahia, don't ask me to spell that for you, but that's how you pronounce it, they came and headlined in a music festival in 74, I think it was, 73, 74, and someone burned, their management would have done it, burned a giant cross and petrol on the hill surrounding it while they were playing. Look up Narawahia, don't ask me to spell it, I think it's NG. No, I won't even bother. But, you know, this whole imagery was coming in. That song that I was talking about, Come to the Sabbath, was a big song in New Zealand. It was on the radio all the time. And I can remember being spooked by it big time as a young child. It definitely had a very nefarious tone to it. I'm not going to, I won't play that song at the end, but I think the writ is, we'll play that at the end of the song. And that is, this is about the band response to being ripped off. And it's one of those songs you don't often hear. It's not what I call, it's not radio friendly, really, but it's a powerful song if you understand the lyrics and the intent in the lyrics to what they've been through. And so many bands had the same thing happen to them. The Beatles got done by their management, the Apple fiasco back in the day. That's not Apple, the computer company, by coincidence, Apple Records. And they had this, again, a Jewish standover gangster. What was his name? Klein. Literally, there's a photo of Klein with a triple-barreled shotgun, I think it is, or a four-barreled shotgun. You know, he was a real standover heavy. And he was Keith Richards, another Satanist, guaranteed, was good friends with him and actually supported him because I think he wanted them. You're listening to Beatles.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And we're listening to Be Told, episode number 34, on the 15th of July, 2025. And here's Rick coming back here in a second. Thank you very much. Wonderful co-host that I have there. Introducing the Be Told, episode number 34. Very interesting show if you're into the esoteric and music and et cetera. Guaranteed. One of the greatest shows ever done, ever, on any other pod platform. Guaranteed. Can I back that up? Yes, I can. Just put, if you put this out on a Joe Rogan show, I would have 10 million people listening to this show because it's full of good information. But yeah, so Alan Klein, who was this real, you know, he was in the Ruttles, which is a, you've got to watch the Ruttles. I'm a Monty Python fanatic, obviously, as well. Eric Idle came out and did the parody of the Beatles, called it the Ruttles in 78, and it was so funny. And he called him Alan Decline, not Alan Klein, in the role of, and I, who played him? Someone. Oh, it was, what's his name? John Belushi, I think, played him in the, as a role of Alan Decline. Fantastic stuff. Really funny. The Ruttles, highly recommended. Or could we play a Ruttles song, which I really like? I might do, actually, because it's a bit more upbeat. The Ritz heavy, you know, heavy rock, but heavy sentiment. But well, the Ruttles did a fantastic parody of the Beatles, and they did a great song called, it'll be the last song on the show. But it really makes a lot of sense, too. What's it called? It's about normies. The song's about normies and the people that just listen to the radio and the news and become a normal person. Great song. Why can't I remember the name of it? But you'll hear it in about 5 minutes' time. Fantastic. But if you listen to the writ of Sabotage, also has this fantastic, at the end of it, the record, when your needle of the record, this is for people out there that listen to vinyl, it actually goes into a groove, as instead of sliding off the turntable, it starts playing this backwards song called Below the Judge, but it's actually saying Blowing the Jug, I want you to blow in the jug. And I found out later that it was a reference to Black Sabbath with all their heavy equipment that they had turning up for an English rock concert one day. And a band that sings that song, the Pushbike song, that riding along on my pushbike, that band from England blew them off the stage playing jug. They were a jug band. They had like literally blowing into jugs and, you know, or bottles and things like that. And they did a bit of a parody bit at the end of that sabotage, where it goes off as the needle's going off to go up to its normal part, it starts playing the strange song. I thought it was some kind of evil thing about belowering the judge, and may well it have been. But their excuse was, it's about that band Mungo Jerry that were incredibly popular with the audience one day, and all these really good bands like Free and Black Sabbath and maybe Deep Purple got blown off the stage by a group of people blowing in jugs. And it could be a there. You're listening to some heavyweight trivia here on the Be Told Show, as per usual, because I am absolutely full of it. Is that an insult to myself, full of it, being full of it? But I'm full of trivia. I have got more trivia dripping out of my fingertips than any other person into trivia. On music. But no, what's a song by the Ruttles that's, they call me, I can't remember. But it's, anyway, you're going to hear it very shortly. Great song. The Ruttles were Innes, the guy that played all the music for Monty Python, Neil Innes, who was a member of the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band. Another band that was so surreal and out there, just not many people got them, but they were hugely popular. And they did a fantastic song called I'm the Urban Spaceman. I think Neil Innes sung on. But I think Napoleon Wilson knows all about Bonzos. They were an amazing band. Too clever, though, for mainstream music. And, you know, there were people saying that Paul McCartney was replaced by the guy from Bonzos. I don't think so. He was a really clever guy. He just drank himself to death as well. Joe Public. The song's called Joe Public, and that's it's a really interesting song because it's a really true song about the public. You know, people do 9-to-5 jobs and they know their place in society, etc. Neil Innes was just a genius to come up with parodies that sound kind of like it could be the Beatles, but it's not the Beatles. But he played Ron Nasty, that was the John Lennon character, on the Ruttles show, which it's on YouTube. Highly recommend the Ruttles. This wasn't in the original first show, but it came out when they did a second show. The show was financed by the guy that produces Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels, who paid and funded this whole project back in the day. And it has lots of Saturday Night Live characters and actors on the actual production. I think we'll wind it up now with Joe Public by the Beatles, but have a listen to The Root for those of you out there who haven't heard it. Unless you're into Black Sabbath, it's not Iron Man, for instance, which is, or Paranoid. This is a really heavy, intent song, but those of you, Buzzing Frets, etc., there's a few people out there will enjoy it. Great heavy song, though, The Rit. But we'll go out with Joe Public by the Ruttles from 78, 79 on episode number 34 of Be Told. So thank you, Joel, you wonderful producer with the Medusa, and he'll be doing the song Joe Public, and I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now, good night, everybody.
I'm a I put my faith in the powers that be.